Turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, and we'll read, please, at verse, at verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. Now come down the chapter, please, for another reading, to verse 19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife, this is Pilate, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now come over just for a moment to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And verse 6, When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Now just come on down the chapter, please, again. To verse 39. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and so on. Now God will bless what we have been hearing in these portions of his word that we have read together. Basically, what's upon my mind in the closing part of the meeting is the question that has so often been brought to our attention in gospel meetings, the question that Pilate had to answer, that we read in Matthew chapter 26, when Pilate said, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now, when we're preaching the gospel, I don't think there's any more important question in all the Word of God that should affect you tonight, and that question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Because every one of us have to do with a person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to do with them sooner or later. And it doesn't matter, friend, who you are or where you come from, what your status in life, what the future might hold. One time you have to face the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't face it now, if you won't acknowledge Him now and face the matter of what you're going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will stand before Him in a coming day at the great white throne judgment. But in order to know whether you're going to be in heaven or not, you must face the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. You must face this question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? A most important question. A question that you must answer. And a question that you must answer tonight. I believe that if you leave this gospel meeting, after hearing the gospel, what you have heard already, and what else might be said, you are responsible before God, and you are responsible as to what you are going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you leave this meeting, and for any reason you are not willing to accept Him as your Savior, then that is paramount to rejecting the one who died for you upon the cross. The solemn thing about that is this, that there's that possibility that God could take you at your word or your attitude if you leave without Christ and without a Savior. That's why we believe it's so vital and so important. Because tonight you are being presented with the greatest decision that you will ever make. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now, we have read of several men. I don't know whether we'll be able to speak about them all, but we read about four men at least who had dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ in those closing hours before the Savior hung upon Calvary to pay the price of redemption in drops of precious blood when He suffered for the sins of a guilty world. One of those men we read about was this man Judas. Judas had dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he might not have faced the exact same question. He might not have asked the question in the same way that Pilate asked the question, but he certainly had to face the same question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now, this man, Judas, why, he was a privileged man. He was like some in our company. He had accompanied the Lord Jesus Christ. He had seen the miracles that he had done. He had heard the gracious words that proceeded out of his lips. He had every indication as he traveled along with those disciples and saw the very acts of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had every reason to believe that he was who he claimed to be, the Son of God. Now, you might not have seen the miracles that the Lord Jesus performed, but I'm confident of this. You have seen the lives of men and women changed. Because there has been a moment when they have trusted Christ as their Savior. And you have heard the gospel. And you know what the Word of God says. And you're just as responsible as this man, Judas. Yet sometimes I think about Judas. He's the very epitome of hypocrisy. A man who traveled along as one of the disciples and faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet all the time, there had never been any true salvation in this man. He had never truly accepted the fact that the Lord Jesus was who he claimed to be. Now, it's so possible that people can make professions of religion or professions of salvation, and they can go along as though they were Christians, as though there was no reason to believe that they were on the wrong track, that they were going to heaven, that everything was settled, and they can live like the Christians, and they can come and go from the place of the holy, and yet all the time, never had a moment in their experience when they found Christ as their personal Savior. It reminds me of one day, with our little family, we We're up in, I think it was it Niagara Falls in Ontario, and we went through the wax museum there. Well, it's rather an interesting place where you see all these figures that look so real that you think you can talk to them. When we first went in, of course, there were two places where you could get your tickets. There was a place on this side with a woman sitting at the desk, and there was a place on this side, a wicket over on this side as well, where you could also go and get your tickets. Well, we had provided the family with the wherewithal to get their tickets, and so some of them went over there, and some of them followed me over here. Well, the ones over here, they proceeded to get their tickets. I went over to this wicket, and I spoke to the woman, and I thought, that's kind of strange. She must be busy or thinking of something else. And I spoke again, and then they began to laugh at me. Well, I realized right away, this is just a wax figure, but she looked so real, looked so real. We went through that place, and there were so many figures of celebrities, unimportant people in the world that looked so real, but they're only made of wax. And there's a lot of people today, and they appear to be real, but they have never truly been born again of the Spirit of God. Now, here was a man called Judas. Judas was interested in one thing. He was interested in what he could get into his pocket or into that bag, and he wasn't interested in the fact that he had to deal with the Lord Jesus Christ. Something was more important to this man than the matter of his soul salvation, if we want to put it that way. And friend, this is one of the problems today. If there is anything in your life that is more important than your soul and where it is going to be forever, friend, I want to tell you tonight, it's time to let that thing go. I don't care what it is. There is absolutely nothing that you should allow to stand in your way of getting your soul saved for eternity. If you've got a false profession, and we don't make it a habit of preaching on false profession, but I do know this, that sometimes there are those, because I was one of those as a young lad who had made a profession. I knew why I did it. I wanted to get away with it, going out talking to the preachers so I could say, well, I'm saved, and they'd let me go on past, and they wouldn't make any remarks to me. And sometimes people don't like remarks being made to them. And I made a profession. But I had to admit, very soon afterwards, that there was no life in my soul, that I had never really acknowledged my sin, that I had never admitted, oh God, I'm guilty, and if I die, my soul will be in hell. But there did come a time when I had to shed all that unreality and that hypocrisy, and I had to come clean before God and acknowledge, oh God, I am guilty, and I deserve judgment for my sin. And there was a time when I had to find out that the Lord Jesus Christ died for me upon Calvary. I had to have dealings with Him. Pilate said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What are you going to do with Him tonight? We want you to answer that question in your own soul before God. And if you're real, if you're honest with God, there never was one yet that missed salvation. Judas, more interested in silver and gold. 30 pieces of silver he sold the Savior. Friend, what are you selling him for tonight? It may not be for silver. It may not be for gold. But friend, there's likely something in your experience, in your life, allowing to be more important than the salvation of your soul for eternity. And what could be more important? We're here for a moment and we're gone forever. And it's an eternity ahead. It's either eternal paradise or God's eternal penitentiary. It's one thing or the other, friend. It's heaven or hell. It's turn or burn. It's make up your mind. I'm going to do something about my soul. I am not going to rest until I know for sure that my soul is saved for eternity. We could say a lot about this man, Judas, his privilege going along with the Lord Jesus. What a privilege. I want to tell you, some of you young people that have Christian parents that pray for you every day, I want to tell you, if you miss God's salvation, you're going to have to stumble over those prayers. You're going to have to stumble over those tears that have been shed for you. You'll have to stumble over
the prayers of the preachers and the saints of God and the preaching of the gospel, and you'll finally have to stumble right over the cross of Christ if you lose your soul in hell. Because the cross of Christ stands in the way tonight. And the Lord Jesus demands an answer as to what you're going to do with Him. What think ye of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest until you think rightly of Him. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Judas, what are you going to do? I'm going to sell him for 30 pieces of silver. That was his proposal. What about his place? The Lord Jesus tells us, or at least the Word of God tells us, that Judas went to his own place. He went out and hanged himself. Committed suicide, and he went down to hell. And Judas has been down there for 2,000 years in the awful flames, engulfed in God's wrath and judgment, and wishing it thousands of times that he hadn't sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. Friend, don't sell the Lord Jesus Christ for anything. Don't allow anything to stop you getting to Christ. Your friends, many a soul has been lost because of friendship with the world, like that young fellow William came into a meeting like this with his girlfriend. And they sat there and they listened to the gospel like you're listening to it tonight. And he got troubled about his soul. Or was it the other way around? She got troubled and wanted to get saved. And she decided when the meeting was over that she would wait and talk to the preachers afterward. And she stayed in her seat, but when everybody got up to go, she happened to glance up and she just caught William's eye as he was making his way out. And he gave her that look, as much as to say, what's going on? What are you doing? And she couldn't stand that look. And she changed her mind, and she got up and she went out. And it wasn't long after that she went into eternity, and she missed God's salvation. My friend, listen. If God is dealing with you, you make up your mind, I'm going to settle this matter tonight. I don't care what it means. I don't care what it costs. I would like to know my sins forgiven. Here was this man, Pilate. You think of this man and the decision that he had to make. Oh, he tried to evade the issue time and time again. But the issue was there. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And friend, this question that you have to answer, it invokes a choice. You have to make a choice. It's eternal in its results. It's a choice that is inescapable in its personality. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Oh, you say that with Pilate. He had to answer it. Friend, you've got to answer it tonight. What shall I do? I had to answer it. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? This man, Pilate, tried to evade it. He said, take ye him and crucify him. Well, they couldn't do that because they had to abide by Roman law. They said, by our law he ought to die. Pilate had to make the choice. Pilate sent him off to Herod. Thought this is the way out. When he heard that he was from Herod's jurisdiction, way off to Herod and get him off my hands so I won't have to face the question. And friend, maybe you're hoping that some way you can get out of this without having to face the question. But I want to tell you, friend, you're in this gospel meeting and there is absolutely no way that you can evade the question. You have to face it. You have to face it tonight. The Spirit of God has brought you, whether by invitation from a friend or from some other reason. You're here in this gospel meeting, so you have to face the question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Way off to Herod. But that didn't work. We'll speak about Herod in a moment. Then he thought of another idea. This is the time when we release a prisoner. Now, there was a notable prisoner, Barabbas, who was up for murder and all that. So he said, how would it be if I let Barabbas suffer, die, and set the Lord Jesus free? Which will you have, Barabbas or Jesus? And they were instant crying out, let him be crucified. We want Christ to be crucified. And then Herod had a little note from his wife. And his wife said to Herod in that note, don't have anything to do with this just man, for I've suffered many things in a dream this day because of him. Oh, all these things crowding in upon Pilate, what am I going to do? And finally he took a basin, and he washed his hands in the basin. And he said, I'm innocent of the blood of this person. See ye to it. You take the responsibility. No, Pilate, you can't escape the responsibility. And you might say to me tonight, well, I'm not going to be responsible for answering that question just now, friend. You can't evade the issue. You must choose one way or the other. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And Pilate, willing to content the people, he allowed Jesus to be crucified. Washing his hands didn't remove the guilt. I understand that 3 years later, Pilate, who had lost his job, was away out there in the Alps Mountains and a retreat. And they saw him down by the river, washing his hands in the river. And it seems as though the mental processes had left, reason had left its throne. And in 3 years' time, Pilate was in eternity. A poor, demented man who had made the wrong choice. Friend, don't make the wrong choice tonight. There's a man who died for you on Calvary, and he shed his precious blood, and he wants to save your soul tonight, and he's able to save if you're willing to rest your all for eternity on the work that was accomplished at Calvary. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Will you receive him? Will you trust him? Will you believe him, like we've been hearing about that man that believed? Oh, friend, simple faith in the work that was accomplished at Calvary will bring your soul, will bring you into relationship with the Lord Jesus, will give you eternal life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Will you trust him? I'm going to say a word about Herod. Poor Herod. The Lord wouldn't even talk to him. Wouldn't answer him. He was exceeding glad. He was real happy that Pilate had sent the Lord Jesus to him because he thought he might see a miracle or something done by him. You think the Lord was going to gratify a man who was a murderer? A man who for his self-gratification, watching that young woman dancing, offered her the half of his kingdom, said, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. She consulted with her mother, and her mother said, ask for the head of John the Baptist and a charger. And he sent down to the prison and had John the Baptist beheaded. Gruesome thing, brought the head of John the Baptist. And you know, that's the way things go today, a party, a dance, and a murder. The Lord wasn't going to talk to a man called Herod. If this man Judas sold his soul for money, if Pilate sold his soul because of the friendship of the world, because they said, if you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. Friend, don't let anything interfere tonight. This man Herod, for self-gratification, he sold his soul. And though you read that Herod I presume he was there, he and his men of war, except not the Lord Jesus Christ. They mocked him. They spitefully entreated him. They buffeted him. And Herod is in hell tonight. But there was a man that was hanging on a cross right alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. His had been a life of sin and folly. But there he is hanging. But I want to say that one of those men that hung alongside the Lord Jesus Christ became a man that feared God. Oh, there was three crosses standing there. There was a man who never changed his mind, who rejected the Lord Jesus. There was a man there who understood, this man has never sinned. This man has done nothing amiss. And as that thief hung upon the cross, he was ready to admit his guilt. He said, we indeed justly, we've received the due reward of our deeds. This man hath done nothing amiss. And he could see that here was a man. I'm sure he heard him say to those men who nailed him to the tree, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was conscious of what had been taking place. And here was a man. He feared God. He was ready to confess his guilt. And in his dying moments, he turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I want to say, friend, here was a man in his dying moments. You say, well, maybe I could get saved when I'm dying. Why would I have to get saved now? Can I enjoy myself down here and then get saved when I'm dying? I believe that that thief on the cross, getting saved at the 11th hour, proves that there is that possibility to have the insurance of salvation at the final moment. But I want to warn you as well that it means that it's possible to go right to hell from the side of the Lord Jesus. One man went to heaven, one man went to hell. And God doesn't expect you to presume. God is offering you salvation now. If you get God's salvation, you'll be happy for eternity. If you miss a friend, you'll be sad forever and forever. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus, without a moment's hesitation, he said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today, what promptitude, right away. With me, what company. In paradise, what a prospect, what a prospect. That thief on the cross went to be with Christ that day. The one on the other side came right, he was right there by the door of heaven, right by the Lord Jesus, and he's down in hell tonight. Where are you going to be? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him tonight? Will you receive him? I say this is a question that invokes a choice. You must make a choice tonight. This is a question that will be eternal in its results. It will be heaven forever or hell forever, one or the other. And you must make the choice. I say it's inescapable in its personality because everyone who listens to my voice tonight has to make that choice. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Infinite in its importance. What will you do with the Savior tonight? Time forbids going on. But I can't help but think of a young man and his wife and their family. And the wife started going to gospel meetings in the city of Moncton, New Brunswick, many years ago. And Doris went to those meetings, and she got troubled about her soul. And her husband could see, he wasn't interested, he could see that something was going on. And he didn't want any, didn't want the boat rocked. Said to his wife, he said, look, he said, don't go back to any of those meetings anymore. She said, well, he said, I'd like to go. He said, if you go back to that meeting, this was at the end of the week, said, if you go back to that meeting on Sunday, when you come home, I'm taking the children and we're going. We're gone. Pretty hard choice to make. But that young woman was disturbed about her soul. And she said, buddy, she said, I've got to go to the meeting. I'm going tonight. Well, he said, remember what I said. If you come back, and if you've got this business of salvation or whatever, he said, we're finished. He said, I'm taking the children and we're going. She went to the meeting. And oh, the struggle that went on. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? She made up her mind it was her soul for eternity. And that night she trusted Christ. She went back home in fear and trembling. She knocked. Well, I guess she didn't knock on the door, but she went in the door and Buddy was waiting just inside the door. He said, well, she said, Buddy, I trusted Christ as my Savior. What are you going to do? You know what he did? He broke down in tears. He said, if it's that important to you, he said, I'd like to be saved too. And he started to come to the meetings, and he got saved too. You see, the devil will cheat you out of it if he can. Don't let anything stand in your way tonight. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Make the choice for Christ. Make it tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now we're going to sing a hymn together. And while we sing this hymn, those who are involved in this baptism tonight will make their way to prepare. Number 89. And then after the baptism, the meeting will be closed in prayer and we'll sing another hymn. We're going to sing number 89. Oh, what will you do with Jesus? The call comes low and sweet. And tenderly he bids you your burden lay at his feet. O soul, so sad and weary, that sweet voice speaks to thee. Then what will you do with Jesus? O what shall the answer be? Number 89, while the folk are prepared.